Okay, so previously on Psychratia, we started really on the conceptual side of things. We talked about like Dvarshin Miskaven, what makes Dvarshin Miskaven pater, and then we talked about conceptually why can Dvarshin Miskaven Psychratia suddenly become Asur again. And we emphasized two main camps, right? Two main ways of dealing with the problem, or not really the problem, of explaining why it is a problem. And what were they? Remember? Yeah, all right.
I think one side was like Kavana and one side was Masa. So the Kavana side was like, even though you didn't think you were intending, from the fact that there was like no other way of getting around it, you were by happenstance intending on it. And then the Masa one, I think, was that you're doing an action that is defined as this action of doing the malacha, so therefore you would be a chaya regardless of your intention.
Right. One says, oh, well, at the end of the day, right, you do have kavana, either because, right, we'll say, we'll apply your kavana across the board, or you did have kavana in some sort of slightly more abstract way, or some in a utilitarian way, or even in a practical way, we could say, well, you really did mean it because you did it and you knew it was going to happen, and let's say it's for your benefit. This is one way of saying it is that, yeah, you really did intend it, and your kavana was kavana to do it. The other range would say no, right? Your maisa, the action that you're doing, is defined as sort of one hybrid action, right? One compound action, which includes the malacha in it. So by intending to do the davar, which is also a psikresha for the malacha, right, you're doing the malacha, right? And so your intent is for this action AB, right, in parentheses, or with a hyphen, and therefore, by doing it, you're doing both of them, right? So it's one maisa, just one maisa with sort of two features to it, right? One way to say there are two maisim, but because you want to do it and you need to do B in order to get A, you're also mechavein for B. Or I can say A and B have become linked, they become one action, and memela, you're doing both of them, right? Because it's only one action at the end of the day. Okay. Those are two ways of dealing with it. One is to saying it redefines the action. One is to say it redefines your kavana. Now let's see what the Rishonim say about the issue, right? And what we can take from it. Just to put it on the board, just to sort of, simplify things. So we have it all. Right? We have Sikresha. Either it's a din in Kavana, or it's a din in the Maisa, right? It means that you did have Kavana, or your action is now changed because it's Psikresha, and we've redefined the Dvarshin Miskaven action into also being an action of Malach. Okay, who says what? So if we look at the Makoros, zoom it in. So let's look at Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel, I think, takes a good clear stance on the issue. Who wants to read Rabbeinu Chananel for us? Anyone? Oh, this is like, wait. Oh. You guys got to do like odds and even between the two of you.
You have seniority.
אבל כגון האומר כוונתי לחתוך ראש זהוף לאכילה לכלה ואין כוונתו להמיתו. כגון זה מודה ושיבות שחייב שאף על פי שאין מכוון כיוון שאי אפשר לחתוך ראש האוף אלא עד שימיתו.
Wait a second, sorry, there's more to this Rabbeinu Chananel. Where did I put it? Oh no, it's not all there? Okay, there's more to this Rabbeinu Chananel, which is even more explicit. Oh, is it here maybe? Oh, one second, okay, fine. Here, later on. Here, Moder Rav Shimon here. Okay, phew, I found it. Okay, I did put it on. Okay, so right there, he says, look, how do we define Psikresha? Any time where the action you're doing has to lead to it, right? Later on in the Psikresha section, phew, that was scary. It's on page, I thought like, oh my gosh, it's Gishmak Rabbeinu Chananel, and I can only put on like the non-Gishmak line. See, right in between, what page is this actually? Page 3 maybe? It's like right before the Shari Yosher and after the big Shut Berachas Avram.
Yeah.
Monster Berachas Avram.
Sorry, should I read?
Yeah, sorry. My bad. That's bad. False start. So what's he saying? What's the logic? What's the smara there?
Yeah, at the end of the day, the maisa, you're doing the maisa, that's the malacha, and you can't say that you're not doing what you're doing. And like, you had kavana for killings, for cutting off someone's head, and that's what it is.
Right, but how would you formulate like the legal mechanism, right? I mean, what's the example he gives? I love the example he gives, because it just really, I think, gives it over what he thinks the svara is. There's a key line here, which I like.
It seems like we decide for him that he had this kavana. Like it's clear from what he did that he obviously had kavana.
Exactly. Say more. You're good. Keep going.
I don't know. That's about all I had to say. Like there's no way you can do this action without having kavana for the murder.
Okay. No. So you're walking back on what you said a second ago. Actually, I like you said a second ago more. Yeah, Tehila.
Maybe this is too similar to what Yair said, but it sounds like they are pre-assigned kavanah to an action, so you can't do an action and claim you didn't have that kavanah.
Okay, so it's like what Yair is saying at the end there, but I think Rabino Chanan is saying something much simpler. I like what you guys are saying is totally right in terms of Sikresha, and it's very good thinking. I have to think Rabino Chanan is just saying something much more like Baal Batish, which is why I think you guys are like...
You didn't have kavana.
What did you say? One more time.
You had kavana. Don't tell me you didn't have kavana. You literally cut his head off.
Exactly. Right. I think Rabino Chanan was exactly saying that. He's saying like, do you think I was born yesterday? Right. You go to the judge. Right. Let's listen to this line again. Right. B'davar shu barur kigon adam shechotech rosh adam ve'omer she'in kavanaso lahamiso elu lahotz yes mamono ein shomin lo. Right. The judge says. Right? Of course, I plead not guilty, Your Honor, because I didn't mean to kill him. I just meant to take his money out of his, lungs. I just, I thought he was keeping his money in his lungs, so I like cut his head off. But of course, I didn't mean to kill him, Your Honor, right? In shomin lo, ela dunin oso din kol horig nefesh. What, you think we were born yesterday? You think the judge says you think I'm a fool? Right? Kach kol davar shemit barer, it's clear. Right? We just say, that's not true, right? Even Rabbi Shimon's modeh, that if you say, no, I really didn't mean it, then of course you meant it, right? I think it's gishmak, because Rabbi Hanan just goes what you guys were saying is totally right, because your instincts are no, there's got to be something more legal, and I think you're correct, right? In general, that is absolutely the way that most of the Shonim go. But actually, Rabbeinu Chananel just says a Baal Batish Svar, which I think actually makes a lot of sense. Says if it's good for you and it's going to happen, right? Then don't tell me that you didn't mean for it to happen, right? It's just no way, buddy. We don't believe you. Who do you think we are? You think we're an idiot? We are an idiot. Yeah, as a collective. Yes, Ari.
Yair and I were noting when we learned this that it was interesting that he went to this year that he jumped to a non-Shabbos case, which seemingly we should have different levels of kavana necessary for for killing someone versus doing Melechet Machshavet on Shabbos, but he sort of either equates the two or something like that.
Right, exactly. Right. That I think that's a very good diuk. Other people. Right, we'll say, the Rambam says, because on Shabbos you cut the head of the chicken off, right? It's all questions of Shabbos, you cut off the head of the chicken and you're machavim to get the head of the chicken, but not to kill the chicken, right? Rabbi Hanano says, no, Psik Resha is a taina from, right, from like Choshen Mishpat, not even Choshen Mishpat, right? It's from civil law, right? It's like, hello, right? You murdered someone. Of course, we know that you're a murderer. You can't say that you didn't mean to kill him, but you just meant to cut his head off, right? He's sort of taking like the sort of natural logic that we apply to criminal cases and saying, well, the same thing is true here by Shabbos. Exactly, right? The fact that he says Psik Resha is parallel to a case of murder, not to a case of cutting off a chicken head as a toy, right, I think is a great like proof to the fact that he's saying, like, come on, right? We would never accept that in a criminal case. That would be a terrible defense if you were trying to defend yourself in a court for committing a crime. So of course we're just not going to believe you. All right, so I'm just going to put that on the board, right? Very simply, Rabbi Hananel says it's totally a din in kavana. So much of it is din in kavana, right? You actually are machavein, right? And when you say that it's a davar sheino miskavein, we just don't believe you, right? So this is Rabbi Hananel. Okay. So it's a very gishmak, just the order of like most extreme way that you could formulate this is to say, you know, you are machavein, you're guilty, we know you did it. Does it help if I add this light? Does it make the glare better or worse? Or not? Doesn't change anything?
That just increased the glare.
Oh, okay. Didn't really change anything.
Better? Worse? Indifferent. Doesn't change anything. What if I did that? Better? Worse? Now I'm like covered in darkness. Does that help a little or none? Also not.
The board looks great, but you're pretty dark.
Okay. All right. I think I'm probably more important than the board.
I agree.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. One day we'll have to figure out a solution to the glare situation. Right? So Rabbi Hananel just says, you are mechaving. I think that's a little bit, let's make that a little bit bigger so it's easier to see, right? Right? You're just lying to us. You are mechaving. You're just lying to us, and we weren't born yesterday, so we just don't believe you, right? Because that would be stupid for us to think that you really, really didn't mean it when you clearly did it. Okay? That's Rabbeinu Hananel. So that's sort of all the way on the extreme on the Kavana side. That says, Davar Sheino Miskavein, Psik Resha, is clearly you are Mechavein, because it's Psik Resha, and we're not done. Okay? It's very Balabatish. It just makes a lot of sense. It's kind of fun because he just says, like, yeah, like Pasha, you are Mechavein. Like, we're not stupid. Okay. That's Rabbeinu Hananel. That's one extreme. What's the other way, the other sort of extreme to take it? One second. Okay. The other way to look at it is the following Rashi. Okay, Rashi says when it comes to Efshel Azalif Agabe Ha'ishim, you have a case where you are misnadev to bring wine to as like a korban on the mizbeach. The problem is if you pour the wine on the mizbeach, it goes on the fire. It goes on the fire, then it puts out, right? When you pour water onto a fire, it puts out a little bit of the fire. Putting out some of the fire is considered a bad thing to do because it's usur to put out the fire of the mizbeach, lo tichbet. Okay, so what do? So the Gemara says, oh, ha, Rabbi Shimon, he who says that you're allowed to pour it on the fire anyway, because the fact that you'll be mechabe the fire is a davar sheino miskavein. Okay, so it says Rashi, Shmuel k'Rabbi Shimon, dechivan de'inu miskavein mechabos, in lo techbe. Raya love, less or mi'aker mashmuta de'ishe, mishom de'kushya de'lo techbe. You wouldn't undermine the basic understanding of the fact that the wine is a korban and say that you don't pour it on the mizbeach, but rather you pour it somewhere else because you want to avoid lo techbeh. Because you'll just follow Rabbi Shimon and say, Dabar Shinam Skavin is mutter. V'im tomar psik resha v'lo yamasu. So what's Rashi say? Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Rashi says that because there's a way to do the pouring that won't put out the fire, you can pour any way you want.
Exactly. Even though what?
Even though you put out the fire for sure.
Exactly, right? Efter de mizali fle betipen dakos, ma'od, hilkach inami mechabe betipen kasos, davashin miskavin hu. Now, what's the problem with that?
Crazy.
Everything.
Right? Exactly. Right? What's going on? Right? Rashi just said, I mean, what did everyone else say is the definition of davashin miskavin, sikresha? If I do A, it will automatically cause B, right? 100%. Says Rashi, no. What's the definition of sikresha? If I do A, and A has to come together with B. Right? And therefore, I could even do, if in a case where I could theoretically separate them, even if I do them together in a manner which was sikresha cause the cause B, nonetheless, it's not a sikresha. What does that mean, Rashi thinks? Ari?
It means Rashi thinks it's dependent on the masa. If the masa is the exact same masa that will do the malacha, and it's not that they're two different ones that are sometimes together, but really they're just literally the same one, then it's a sikresha. Otherwise, it would not be.
Very good, right? If it's a question of kavana, I'd say, oh, if I'm doing A, right, and B is going to happen, so then I could say, well, you intended to do B. Adraba, the fact that you theoretically could have done it in a way which avoids the problem should make it a bigger kavana problem, right? The fact that you could have done it betipim dakos should make doing it betipim gasos even more problematic from a kavana perspective, right? But it says Rashi, I don't care, because what's the problem with psikresha? Psikresha shows that the two are one action. But if I could theoretically do them separately, they're not the same action, right? So says Rashi, right? They're definitionally one action. One unified action. That Rashi thinks it's one unified action, right? It's not even a unified action because unified implies that there are two components which have been unified. It's simply the action, right? Says Rashi, if I could separate them, if theoretically separable, then not sikresha. Rashi says that the fact of the matter is, as long as I could theoretically separate the two actions, it's not sikresha, because clearly, if I'm telling you that the maisa is one maisa. And therefore, by doing maisa A, it's not that I'm doing maisa A and that's causing maisa B. Maisa A and B are the same. If I could theoretically separate them, even if I'm not separating them right now, then I'm not a sikresha and I'm okay with them. It's just a devar shenem miskavin. Yeah.
It seems logical to me that Rashi would still say that if you pour the water, if you pour the wine out and you intend to put out the fire, that would be problematic.
Correct. If you actually intended to do it, but that's just because it wouldn't be a Davar Shein Miskavin anymore. If you actually intended to put out the fire, that would just be a regular Davar Miskavin.
Right. So, but that feels to me as though Rashi's saying like a malacha and a psikresha are not the same thing.
Well, a psikresha, yeah, because, well, no, we have two problems. What's the problem here? You're doing a malacha, right? But you're not a Davar Shein Miskavin is mutter. Right? If the Davar Shein, so doing a malacha is doing a malacha. If you do a malacha, but Davar Shein Miskavin, so you're not mechavin to do the malacha, that's mutter, right? What about a sikresha? Right? Is it doing the malacha? No. Is it doing the malacha? Right? You're just doing the malacha. Or, All right, you're not mechaber to the melacha, but it's a psik resha. So in the end of the day, there's no difference between, you can't separate between cutting off the head of a chicken and killing a chicken, right? They are the same action. There are no two actions here, one of which is mischavin and one of which isn't. You just are doing the malach, right? That's what Rashi thinks. So Rashi says that's only true, though, if by definition the two actions are right? If you were actually to do the malach as a malach and mischavin, that would just be a regular malach. Yeah, Tila.
I just want to clarify, like, in the case of the chicken, you're saying that the two mice will become one mice, but is killing the chicken an action? Because it really sounds like more of an outcome. So I'm just trying to understand how you can categorize that, like, in terms of action.
Killing a chicken is, why can't killing a chicken be an action? You could do it in different ways, right? But the sort of the meaningful component of the action is you did the act of killing a chicken. Just like if you kill a person, right? The outcome is that the person is dead. But murder, right, killing is the action. The verb is to kill. The outcome is that the person is dead. But you killed the person, right? So the action you did is the malacha of shechita. The outcome is that the chicken is dead, right? What the person is trying to claim that he never did the action of killing. The chicken happens to be dead as an outcome, but he just did the action of cutting off its head and it happens to now be dead. Right? Our response is that you didn't do the action of cutting off its head and then sort of as a byproduct, right? You also did the action of killing. And then since you didn't mean to do that, we just sort of ignore it. And there's the happens to be the outcome of the chicken being dead, right? You did the action of killing the chicken by cutting off its head, right? Rashi says cutting off the head of a chicken is not a separate action from killing a chicken. You killed the chicken by cutting off its head. The method of killing it was cutting off its head, but that definitionally is the action of killing, right? I think that sort of makes a lot of sense, sort of intuitively, right? The difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, obviously, is huge, even though, right, they're both saying, well, if you cut it off its head, it's going to die, right? Because Rabbeinu Chananel is saying, like, in a criminal court, I would totally reject that argument, because obviously, you meant to do it. Rashi's saying, even if you meant to do it, it's not really a question of whether or not you meant to do it. It's whether or not it's definitionally the same thing, right? Okay, very good. What about shitos who fall somewhere in between? Okay, so okay, just a cool point is that the Rajba, I don't know if he's taking this further or this is a logical application of Rashi, okay? Just make sure I'm not skipping anything. Yeah, good. The Rashba here says that there's a Yerushalmi that says if you have a deer inside your house, okay, and you want to close your house, because you whenever you leave your house, what do? It's you live in the city. You lock the door, right? Sort of the sensible thing to do. Okay. So you leave your house, there's a deer that walks in. It's a very nice, plump deer, right? Something you definitely would love to keep. So he says, Ubi Yerushalmi nireh, shetiru lin olechatchila beso, lishmar beso utzvi shebetocho, and you intend, right? You are very happy about the fact that you're capturing this deer as well. Dikiva shehu tzarech lishmar beso, since, right, as an automatic thing, you have to close the door and guard your house. Okay, that's, I think, earth-shattering, but the Rashba really says it. What's he saying? Yeah, Tila.
He seems to be saying that action with the awareness of an outcome that is something you can't do on Shabbat is fine so long as the action is more important to you than the outcome.
Okay, I think I don't know if you would consider it separately an outcome, or sort of.
No, okay, no, I would probably phrase it more in terms of kavana, right? That you can be meat coven to have the deer in your house. You just have to be more meat coven to lock your door, or like have more of it. Like,
I think you're correct. For the Rajba, what's he arguing? If I lock my door, I actually think your original formulation is actually more accurate than I was thinking. What the Rajba said is what? If I go, if by definition, there are two separate actions. Let's say definitionally there are two separate actions. There's trapping a deer and there's locking the front door of your house. Right? Locking the front door of your house is something you need to do independent of the presence of any deer or livestock inside your house. Right? Right? You walk out of your door. What's the first thing you do? You turn around, you close the door, and you lock it. Right? No matter what what's going on, whether or not there are deer inside. Now, says the Rajba, because of that, the action you're performing is what? Is locking your front door. Is protecting your house. That's the action you're performing. And that's the action you perform every single day when you walk out of your house. Now, not because of that, even if you want to catch the deer, that's okay. So in general, we've been saying, if you intend for the second thing, that should be a psik resha, right? Or that should be, sorry, davar hametzgabe. So the Rajma is using psik resha, the Yerushalmi is, in the opposite direction of Rashi, right? Said Rashi, psik resha defines the two actions as one action, right? So if you're mechavin for A, it really is only A that includes these two outcomes, right? Says the Rajba, let's say they're definitionally two actions. Let's say there's locking your door, there's capturing the deer. Definitionally, says the Rajba, those are two actions. And you are definitely doing the first, right? So since you're definitely doing A, right? Independent of the fact that B is happening, even though you actually want B, you are mechaving for B. It's like psik resha in reverse, right? Normally, we would say, if it's davar shemechaving, right? This is what Ari was asking a while ago, right? Ari said, wait a second, right? It's like we kind of seen a little bit waffly on cases where it's sort of happening, but you do want it, but it's not a psik resha, right? Here, the Rajba is saying, well, actually, psik resha says that the two actions are one. Let's say psik resha says that the two actions are two. There's opening the door and closing it, right? I always lock my door. That exists independent of the existence of the deer. Separately, there happens to be a deer in my house, and I want to trap the deer, right? But the nature of the action of locking my house door is so overwhelmingly one of locking my front door because I need to protect my house that the fact that there's a deer inside doesn't register as a maisa. The nature of the maisa is just locking my door. And then what about the deer? So exactly what Tehila said. The deer was, you never went and you trapped the deer. The deer is just a result. It's a side effect. Because, right, we basically said there are definitions to our actions, right? Sometimes the definition says that these two actions are one action. But if the definition of the action were to say that they're separate actions, and even if I'm having, since my ikar kavana, right, or the ikar nature of the action I'm doing, not even my kavana, let's say I have equal kavana for the two of them. I'm actually having for both for capturing the deer and locking my house equally. But since the action that I'm doing is that of locking my front door, the only thing that registers as a maisa is the maisa of locking my front door. And the deer is just okay? So the Rajba says that, and this is like, I don't know what color to put it, maybe I'll put it in like green, sort of like an opposite, right? Like, this is the Rajba, right? Inverted psik resha. Right? Of trapping the deer. And locking the door. The action you're doing is locking your front door. The deer just doesn't recognize, even though you're machabe. Right? The Dabar Hashem machabe Sikresha makes the Eno machabe as if you're machabe. Here what we're doing is we're saying the it makes the yes machabe like not machabe. Yeah, questions. People who are mind boggled by the Rajba. Yeah, to you.
Okay, so that seems a little off to me considering the end of the bullet part in the Rashba, where he says that if he's locking the door only in order to capture the deer, then it's wrong. So that's, there seems to be an element of Kavana that's beyond the Maisa, unless you're defining the Maisa at that point as no longer locking the door but trapping the deer. But even if you're doing that, I feel like there is an element of Kavana incorporated that should
yes,
be.
Yes, yes, absolutely. No, if the person's entire intent was only to trap the deer, right? If it was only meant to trap the deer, right? If it was to trap the deer bilvad, so the only thing you're intending, you're doing is trapping the deer in a chanam. But as long as you're also locking your front door, then since the nature of the action is that of locking your front door, right? The trapping the deer basically doesn't register as part of the maisa.
So I don't know, maybe I'm thinking about Maisa differently than you are, but if by doing the exact same action of locking the door, in one case you're guarding your house, and in the other case you're trapping a deer and not guarding your house, that seems to be more of an issue of Kavana than the Maisa.
Okay, so we definitely do, we've seen this a little bit before when we're talking about Dabar Shein Miskaven, right, that what you're Mechaven to do definitely plays a role in how we would define your Maisa, right? If you happen to be pushing something in a field, right, and it happens to be a plow, right, and you're trying to dig a furrow, so clearly that's furrowing, right? That's choresh. If you're pulling a plow, let's say, you know, in your driveway because you're trying to put it in your shed, then right, it's the same physical action, but there clearly, right, we're not going to say that you're mechaving to do that, you're not doing a ma'aseh choresha, right? You're putting it in your shed. Now, you could say it's psikresha, right? Obviously, definitely we would say that there's a measure of kavana in defining maisa. Right, the question is, right, where do we put that? Where's that, you know, how central is it? But definitely everyone is going to have to agree that what you're planning on doing, right, just like we said by Misasik, right? If there's no kavana, then you're not really doing it as a maisa. It's a pu'ula, right? It's motion. But you're not, right, the concept of an action is something with a certain, right, constructive intent at the end of the day. Okay, so we can move on from the Rajba. And it's very cool, right, so the Rebbe Chananel said, you are actually mechavin. Rashi says, I don't actually care what you're mechavin for, what basically, right, I mean, I do, but really what matters is the definition of the action, right? So if they're definitionally one action, it's psikresha. If they're not, then even if you're doing it in a way which automatically will cause it, it's still okay. The Rajba basically uses that in the inverse and says, oh, if the action is defined one way, right, because let's say it's the action of closing your door, then the fact that it's also trapping a deer is irrelevant. Because the trapping of the deer is so ancillary to the ikar nature of the action, right, which is locking your door, which you do every day. So the nature of the action is definitionally that of locking your door if you're actually doing it to lock your door. And we won't even register the fact that you're trapping the deer, so much so that even if you're mechaving to also trap the deer, we would say it's fine. And you could do it lechatchila. As long as you're not mechaving to trap the deer levad, the action you're doing is only that of guarding your house. And the deer is sort of just a lucky outcome. Okay. Let's continue. Okay, so fine. So Rashi here, I'm going to add another sort of tidbit in Rashi. Rashi, right, we just saw that Rashi clearly comes out on the side of Maisa, right? But Rashi's sort of formulation in the Maisa,
Right,
kigon gor adamit and kisav safso b'vash nitzchavin lasus charet. Avagav dika lemechash doma avid charet. Kiven de lo mischavin lahachi be'eshal agreir ablo charet ki avid nami charet hevi malacha gura lo mechayev aval hecha devade avid mod. Okay, so he says it's kim mechavin chashav lei. So I think it happens to be a nice diok. That why does he say it's kim mechavin chashav lei? So I think it works actually nicely with the fact that he holds maisa and not kavana. If you hold kavana, what are we arguing? We're arguing that you really are mechavin at the end of the day, right? We're saying you're mechavin, and so you really did a malacha be kavana. Rashi doesn't really say, "Oh, you were mechavin." It's kim mechavin chashiv lei. So I think it works out very nicely because if Rashi thinks that we're ma'ached the ma'isim, we're saying that, oh, there's only one ma'isa here. So you weren't really mechavin for this other totza, right? But since they're one ma'isa, it's as if you were mechavin for it because, right, it's just by nature one ma'isa. You can't split between them. So even though you're mechavin only for this part, not that part, since it's one thing, so it's as if you're mechavin for this part also because you're mechavin for it, right? Just the tweak is that, right, if you were talking about the Kavana side of things, we're arguing that you're actually mechavin. If we're talking about the Maisa, we're saying, it's not that you're actually mechavin for it, but like legally you are mechavin. It's as if you're mechavin because there's only one Maisa here. So you're mechavin for the Maisa, which also includes this. Okay? I mean, it's not a mochach diok in Rashi because you could also argue no. He's trying to say that it's as if you're mechavin and therefore we put you on the mechavin side. But right, since Rashi in and of itself is vague, but in light of what we just saw before in Rashi, I think the way to interpret it is it's as if you're mechavin because it's one ma'isa. So even though you're not actually mechavin, it doesn't matter because you can't separate between the ma'isa. Okay. But if you got, you know, by the way, this is a tough Rashi to determine how to be medai. If you only had it in a vacuum. Okay. What about the Rambam? What do you guys think about the Rambam? Yeah.
Ari and I thought the Rambam kind of flipped back and forth between Kavana and Maisa. It was not at all clear which way he wanted to go.
Okay, right, I hear that. Why? Just what's the... What were your duke in one way or the other?
Well, he started, let's see if I can remember this. He starts with Afa Pi She'ein Shalonith Kavan, even though you intended, and Shad Davarya Dua Yoshar Shalot Hase.
Oh, you just cut out. No. Okay, right. Shad Davarya Dua, how's that, Meduyak? Wait, no, come back to our turtles. Turtles are missing. Okay, we're going to... You guys just lag. You just guys just disappear for a minute.
Oh, can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Wait, no, okay. So back from Shadav Yadua. What does Shadav Yadua imply?
Well, the Devar Yadua thing was also very confusing. It's like, he doesn't need to put those words in, but he puts it in for some reason. So we're a little confused about that. Right. But I think part of it was that we're confused because he uses both Kavana terminology, but also the Efshar Shelo Taseh Ota Melacha terminology. So there was something like, trying to remember.
Right, you know, you're right. He gives you a little bit of a tough time, right? Shadavar Yadua She Efshar Shelo Taseh Ota Melacha. I think the fact that he adds in Shadavar Yadua,
it sounds like he has to know that there's no other way around it, which gives you Kavana vibes, sort of.
Exactly right. I mean, he could have just said, She'i afshar shalotasa osu malacha. The fact that he says, Shadavar yadua, sort of pushes us in the side, I think, of saying, like, oh, right? Because you know that it's going to happen, right? It's about his knowledge. It's about his Kavana. Tzaraf rosh of l'sachik l'katan. Hadach rosho b'shabes afal pi she'im sof. Ah, and here's another one, right? Afal pi she'im sof magmato laharigata of bilvad, right? His end goal is not exclusively to kill the bird, right? Why is he formulated that way? It's sort of like a right way of formulating. Afal pi she'im sof magmato Even though it is not, right, his end goal to kill the exclusively to kill the bird. It implies that he, it might not be his exclusive end goal, but he is intending it. Chayav, he's still chayav. Why? Shahadava yadua, again, the everybody knows. So I think the overwhelming evidence in the Rambam is essentially that it's not your only goal, right? But clearly it's part of your goals, right? Clearly it's you meant to do it, because even though it's not sof magamato laharigata of bilvad, it's not your exclusive goal, but you know that it's going to happen, right? So you can't deny that it's something that you're trying to do, right? So it sounds less like the extreme version of Rabbeinu Hananel, let's say. But I would say, right, that he's going in the direction of saying that there is kavana, right? I don't think he's going to say, oh, yeah, you actually are machaving and we know that you're lying. Right, he's saying, since it's efshar that you don't know, right? So at the end of the day, if it's especially if it's a davar hanichale, so we know that it's not sof magamato, it's not like the reason why you're doing this whole thing, but right, it is, right? It's chelek mi magamato. Right? It's part of what you're trying to accomplish. It's you're machaving. You clearly know that it's happening. So you're also machaving for it. We don't think that you're exclusively machaving for it. We don't think that you're really sitting down and saying you want it. But we know that in the back of your mind, you want it, right? I think what I'm saying is that we know that in the back of your mind, you want it, okay? Right? We know that that in the back of your head, this is something that's on your list, right? We know... it's in the back of your head. That's how I would interpret the Rambam. Okay? Right? It's not sof magamato. But we know that in the back of your head, it's something that you want to do. Right? That's why, great, because hadavar yadua, you know, we all know, and you know that it's going to happen. And it's ain sof magamato, but it's still something that you know, right? So he emphasizes the knowledge, and even though it's not your end goal, right? It's not on the Rabbeinu Hananel says it's in the front of your head, right? Right? I'm just going to add in, right, in the front of your head, according to Rabbeinu Hananel. According to the Rambam, it's in the back of your head, okay? This is front of your head, this is back of your head. But at the end of the day, you're still mechaveh, right? You're mechaveh in the back of your head. Rav Avram ben Arambam has a slightly different formulation. This is a good line. This is the line I like in Rav Avram ben Arambam. This could definitely be also pshat in the Rambam. I'm not sure. But definitely... the Rav Avram ben Arambam gives a slightly more, let's say, formal explanation. Okay, what does that mean? We actually talked about it yesterday. Not yesterday. Yesterday meaning last shiur. Who's Vor? Who? I'm trying to remember if it's Ari Roberts or Victor Rosenzweig who suggested it. I have it down as AR. Someone definitely was suggested. What's how would you formulate Rabbi Rambam's argument?
Sorry, we lost you for a second.
Oh, okay, sorry. How would you formulate Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam's argument? We talked about it last year. B'shem someone, Rashi Tevos AR. If you, but there are two of those, right? Could be Ari Roberts, could be Avida Rosenzweig.
Ari and I thought that it had, I don't want to pull Ari into this. I thought that it was that, like, the action is by the virtue of the fact that it's an 100% thing, we consider it a malacha. It's more on the maisa side of things.
Okay, I didn't think so, but
the key words were the last
four. No deal.
Pushed Ari out of it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you saved Ari there at the last minute. Just read it over. Okay, let's read it over together. Hold on a second. Let's read it over one by one. Let's just read over this line again. D'me'achar sheyada sheha'isur ye'aseh bivadai v'shemachshavto eino na'aseh ela bi'asiyat hamlacha harei chishev la'asot hamlacha u'lefika chayev chatat u'melechet machshevet karinan bei.
It seems to be that even if you say it was an action of doing X, we know you knew that Y would happen and you were intending, like, and therefore you can call it kavana that Y was going to happen.
Okay, but he asked. Right?
It seems like a more Madhuyaka, the Rambam in the back of your mind kind of formulation. Like, we know that you knew it was going to happen. And the fact that you knew it was going to happen is treated as if you did it.
Okay, good. But I feel like there's like a stronger way of formulating it, right? And he's saying, look, you knew that it was going to happen, but he's adding in like a reasoning why we would consider that as you're really guilty. You're right. It's just he like even gives you like a good svara for it. Right? What does he add in? He says that it'll happen vivadai, but then he adds in what? Shemachshavto eino na'aseit el ba'asiyat hamlacha. What's that? What's that add for us? Harei chishev la'asot hamlacha. Yeah. Tehila. Give me a continue.
I guess that you cannot have kavana to do one without having kavana to do the other because you know that the two coincide.
Right. Okay, good. There's like, I feel like even a sharper way to formulate it. I'd be right. I mean, he's saying, look, in order to do, if A and B have to go together, then by intending to do A, you have to also intend to do B because you know what's going to happen, right? There's like, we had like a way of formulating it, which is good because you want to say something along the lines of the Rambam that, yeah, but you're not really trying to do it. So, okay, you know it's going to happen. Why does the fact that you know that it's necessary mean that you're mechavein? So he gives like even just like a, you know it has to happen too, right? But just he just says, there's like a good way of like formulating it. Ari, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I it was Ari's phrase. I don't remember it, but I think it's pretty clear. Oh, you were just saying it, but it's clear that here that there are two separate actions, and it's just that you have kavana for the second one also because there's no way around it. I
don't remember how. Okay, I'll bring out right. So the exact line, right, is machshavto eino nasis ela ba'asiyas hamalacha. Right, it's a necessary means to the ends of what he's trying to accomplish. So he intends it as a means to his ends, right? What does Rambam says, look, why do you intend for it in the back of your mind? It's not that you intend for it in the back of your mind, even, right? It's not that you intend for it for real. You're not a chavei, right? And it's not in the back of your mind. It's in the front of your mind. Okay, how? So the answer is, it's in the front of your mind Because it's a means to your ends. You know, ein machshavto nasis ela ba'asiyas ha-malacha. So it's not that you want to do the malacha, right? The malacha is a means to your ends. But that, at the end of the day, you want to do it because you want to do, right, all the means to get to the ends that you want at the end of the day, right? Would you say that, oh, if something is a means to an end, you didn't mean to do it? Right? No, you meant to do it. It's not your end goal. It's not sof magamato, right? But it's part of the process. And you meant to do it as a means to an end, right? It's a means to, right, to the ends you intend. You intend it as a means. Right, to your ends. Right, let's underline that. Right, that is Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam. Right, it's very geschmack formulation by Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam. It's intended as a means to your ends, right, and that puts it right in the front of your head, right. But even though it's in the front of your head, it's not, it's as a means to the, your ends, right? Which actually puts us in this perfect sweet spot between saying, oh, but it's only in the back of your head. Okay, but if it's in the back of your head, maybe yes, maybe no, right? It feels a little bit like flippy, like a little bit vague, right? Rabbi Hanan was going a little bit too extreme. We're saying, no, you really meant it, and you're guilty, guilty, guilty. Says Rabbi Ravana Abam, you do mean it, intentionally on the front of your head, but you mean it not as your end, as a means to your ends. But since you know it's a necessary means to the ends which you wish to accomplish, right, you intend to do it. Right? For, I mean, actually, this happens to be a good example, right? Dershowitz, right? Alan Dershowitz is kind of this in the sense, which I think is like crazy and ridiculous. But he kind of the following, right? He says, oh, you doing slimy, illegal things in order to forward your political career is a necessary means, right, for the ends of getting reelected and saving America, right? So doing slimy, illegal things is actually not an impeachable offense because you're doing it for the good of the nation. It's not for personal benefit, right? That was his taina. That was his fara, right? In order to be an impeachable offense, it has to be something that undermines the interests of the nation. And every politician thinks what's best for me is best for the nation. So anytime you do something sleazy in order to get reelected, what you're actually doing is working for the best interests of America because you being reelected is the best thing that can happen for America. Okay? What's he tightening? He's tightening, oh, you're right, right? That it is mechavim, right? It's a means to the ends, but since it's a means to the ends, it's considered one kavana, right? It's you're machaving for this, but what's the kavana for the means? The kavana for the means is the ends, right? So saving America is the real, is considered machaving for the sleazy political stuff that you do, right, in order to get reelected, right? So it doesn't make so much sense, I think, when it comes to constitutional law, right? But it happens to make a lot of sense when it comes to Davarshin Miskavim Segresha, where you're saying, oh, the fact that you had to do this in order to get to your end goal means that you were machabim for this as well, right? Because this was a necessary part of the process. It's not your goal, but it was a necessary means, which means you were machabim to do it as part of the process of getting to your goal. Right, so it's actually very geschmack. It's a very sharp formulation, I think, of Rabbi Rambam, that you, it's not your ends. We're not going to claim that that's what you really meant to do. And we're not going to claim that it's sort of like a subconscious sort of thing floating around that, yeah, since you needed to do this, you also need to do that. No, right? You know that you needed to do it. It's not what you're trying to accomplish, but it's a means to an end. And since you intend it as a means to the ends that you're trying to accomplish. Okay. So that's just like a great sort of three-tier formulation of the Kavana side of things. What about back to the Maisa side of things? So the Shai Yosher has like a very interesting line here. Okay, so he has this whole idea that Maisim are defined by the way that people view them. Okay, right? Essentially, you have physical pu'ulos, right? Objects move around all the time. People do all sorts of muscle motions. What defines something as an action is what people view it as. So it could be society as a whole, or it could be the person who's doing the action. Okay? The inyan ma de moder Reb Shimon b'psik reisha inu mishum de chol hecha de b'psik reisha chashav kimechavin machmasha yodeya vadash yu kein hevim kimechavin. It's not about knowing 100% that'll happen, right? The lefiza hecha de b'safik b'psik reisha have you roi lios mutter. The b'kai gavna hadavar b'mistupak laha oseh u b'emes b'safik b'psik reisha hu safik iser Torah. Okay, he thinks safik b'psik reisha is a problem. Rather, elavadai she inim psikresha ino tolui klal biyedias haadam ela im hadavar bimitzias psikresha aser ashlo yida haose mashe yia tachles hal paula. Okay, so he says, first of all, I think that a psikresha, even a subic psikresha, is going to be chayiv. Who argues on that, by the way? The Taz, okay? The Taz says, suffix psikresha is actually totally fine. If you don't know whether or not the psikresha is going to happen, even if it might be a psikresha, you just don't know. You want to like cut the head off this chicken. You don't know if the chicken is alive or dead. Okay? So it's a suffix psikresha, let's say. That's not such a great case, but bonigi. Right? So the Taz says, yeah, it's fine. As long as you don't know that it's a psik resha, that's perfectly fine. Okay? By the way, why would you say that? Why would you say it depends on your kavana? On suffix, why would suffix psik resha be okay? And why would it be not okay? Yeah. Yeah.
You could say suffix psik resha would be okay. At least there's a machloket about whether it's usur or not, because you can't have kavana for the isur if you don't know whether it's usur or not.
Exactly.
So it would automatically be davar shenu with kavan.
Right. Very good. Right. Suffix psik resha should be fine if, which is in terms of the kavana side, right? Suffix psik resha. Yeah. Right. Suffix psik resha should be okay, right? Because if it's a question of kavana, if you don't know what's going to happen, we're not going to claim that you have kavana for it. Right? The locus is in the person. The person doesn't know. If psikresha is a din of the maisa, then perhaps, not 100%, but perhaps, I could argue that suffix psikresha is going to be aser, right? Because if it's a suffix psikresha, the action might be one action. You don't know that, but at the end of the day, it's one action. Okay? So that's just a side. So the Shai Yosher says, if psik resha was about the guy's kavana, then we would have to say suffix psik resha is mutter. But I think it's aser. Okay, the Taz says the opposite. Taz says, no, of course it's mutter. Elavadish in psik resha, ino toli klal biyadiyas ha'adam. It's not about the knowledge of the person. Ela im hadavar bimitzias psik resha asraf im shelo yodea ose mashi yeh tachlis ha'pu'ula. Right? Sha'atam ha'ikari bipsik resha ba'oven kaze ha'maisa nikris al shem zeh gam b'li kavanas ha'ose. What's the word of psik resha? Right? It's that the action nikris al shem zeh gam b'li kavanas ha'ose. Normally we need the intent of the person doing it to define it as an action. Right, getting back basically to Tehillah's question, Tehillah said, wait a second, right? You're telling me this is a Maisa, this is not part of the Maisa, but at the end of the day, it sounds like you need Kavana, right? And then it's really about Kavana, not about Maisa. Right? So the Shai Yosher's board is like, no, right? You need the Kavana sometimes in order to define the action, and sometimes the action is just defined inherently. By normally, by davar sheino miskaven, we'll say because you don't have kavana, we won't define you as doing this action, right? The only question is, do you have kavana? Do you not? So the kavana could create the nature of the action, but alone, this is not X action. Psik Resha says that this is defined as that action, regardless of what the people who are doing it think, right? If you cut off the head of a chicken, regardless of what you're thinking, that is the action of killing a chicken. Okay. The rak hecha de lo hevi psik resha sover Reb Shimon de ena maisa nikreis al shem ze rak al yidei kavana. Reb Shimon's chiddush is that davar sheino miskaven, that is that if a person is not mechaven to do certain action, we don't consider what he did to be that action. It's a pu'ula, it's not a maisa. De melechas charisha ina nikreis b'shem melacha zu el rakim ose lemataras charisha. Right? Moving an object along the ground is not charisha. Right? Plowing is charisha. What's the difference between moving a plow along the ground and plowing? Right? The intent to create a fara. Aval kisha osel matar is greira sasafsol. She maisa bezeh malacha ha'ataka sasafsol mimakom lamakom. If you just mean to move it around, you're involved in moving. You're not involved in farrowing. Aval kisha chotech rosh bal chai gam beli kavarnas hariga ha'pu'ula atzma nikres b'mishma. Right? Okay. Now, what's interesting, though? I just want to, he has an ad. Oh, okay. Why? Hatam baze, the shem hamaisa mischashevas al pi hachras das bnei adam. Okay, and then ika kama svikos itu bnei adam sharom kdeira imayim misvashlem aleish. Right. If lots of people would see it and not know what to make of it, then it doesn't have the dinner of psik resha. Okay? Rakim yasa adam bechavana linyan ze. So what's he adding in here, which is just really interesting? He could have said it's an objective thing. He thinks instead, though, it's dependent on people, right? If people looking would say, oh, this is a maisa of killing an animal, right? If people looking would say, oh, this is a maisa of furrowing, then we don't care what the person himself was thinking. Okay? So it's actually very interesting because I would have said, well, it depends. Sometimes an action is inherently in a certain action. Yeah. Right? Sometimes an action is inherently a certain action. And sometimes an action is not that inherent action, right? Unless you have kavana. The Talz Rav says no, it's always dependent on what people think. Just sometimes, right, we rely on the common sense of people at large, right? And in cases where there's some ambiguity, then we leave it up to the person who's doing it, okay? But it's always, the nature of the action is always dependent on the kavana of the person doing it. So davar sheino miskaven isn't pater because there's no kavana. It's, there's no maisa malacha because there's no kavana. But if it's a psik resha, then you don't need the, then it's the ma'isa malacha, even without the kavana of the person, because everyone knows that that's what this is, right? So sort of the bat ladaito etzo kol adam, the world at large provides the definition of the ma'isa, okay? So the Shai Yosha comes down very, very strongly on the side of the ma'isa. What's interesting is that he makes it dependent on people. Rashi says it's inherent on the physical definition of the ma'isa, right? The Shai Yosher is saying it's dependent on the perception by people. Okay? So just Rav Rashi said it's definitionally one action. Shai Yosher, I don't know, long color scheme. Right? Like Yediyas Bnei Adam. Shazer Maisa. Okay, and that's the Shari Yosha. Right. Shari Yosha says, look, at the end of the day, there's a clear definitional nature of this action, that you're doing X action, and because what people think, as opposed to the physical attributes of the action. Okay? And just one... Okay, just a cool point. The Taz, right, says if it's a suffix secretia, right, you don't know if something happened in the past that would be a that would be considered a davar she'eino miskaven. It wouldn't be a psik resha, right? Even though right now it's a psik resha, or if it is a psik resha, it is, and if it's not, it's not. You just don't know about something that happened in the past. He says, nonetheless, it's going to be fine because, as we said, right, if it's a din of kavana, it makes perfect sense to say that it's not going to be a psik resha as long as you don't know that it's going to happen. The Be'er Halacha is initially skeptical. He says, that doesn't make so much sense to me. That should be a safek daraisa. But then he says, like, actually, it seems clear that in, like, all the postgame, that in a chanami, that's exactly what's going on. Okay, I think we're going to have to stop here. We're going to continue from psik resha de lo nichale. Okay? Just one added point that I want to sort of throw in is that what did Tosafot say about a psik resha de lo nichale? So Tosafot's point says that a psik resha de lo nichale is considered a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Why is it considered a malacha shein tzricha legufa? So she says, oh, because it's a psik resha, which means that it is the maisa malacha. However, you don't want to do it. So you're doing the maisa malacha, but shelo bechavana letoel asacheres, right? What does that create? Malacha shein tzricha legufa. What does that mean that Tosafot thinks about the question of kavana versus maisa? What do you guys think?
Shout it out.
Can you say the question again?
What does Tosafot think about... Oh, which happened to everybody?
Whoa. Oh.
Go.
No. Didn't have seen that.
That's cool. You just did like a screen share from your side? That's cool. I know you can do that. I thought only I could. That's cool. I don't know. I thought only I had rights. Right, where would I put Tosafot on this? If Tosafot says that davar she'eino miskaven is malacha shein tzricha legufa, if is a malacha shein tzricha legufa, yeah,
I would say under kavana, because if it's meaning if the point of lo nichale is the fact that you're nominating kavana for something, and therefore that part of the
right,
I still think kavana because
very good. Right? If it was about kavana, so maybe I'd say, oh, if it's lo nichale, so it's not mechavin. Right? If I say that, no, fundamentally, you're doing the maisa no matter what. Happens to be, in this case, you don't want it to be doing the maisa. Okay, so you don't want to be doing the maisa, so it's a maisa that you're doing, right? But without kavana for the toeles, that's malachashesh. So I think Tosafot comes out on the side of maisa. It says, even if it's lo nichale, you're still doing the malacha, right? But since you're doing it without kavana, not that, oh, no kavana equals no psik resha, no kavana means malacha shein tzricha legufa, right? You're doing a maisa without kavana, that's exactly malacha shein tzricha legufa, right? If I was in a kavana side, how would I touch things? I would say that I would be more inclined to say that if it's lo nichale, that maybe it's really fine, right? Because if it's all about your content, if you really don't want it, right, the more I can say that you really don't want it, the more I can say, well, okay, if you don't want it, then you don't want it, right? Okay, so we'll stop there, and we'll really get into the practicals and the details on Wednesday. Shkach.